Yeah. Well, I was just gonna, like, I feel like, so I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft lately, and so like what I'm thinking in my mind is that, like, when, like, a boomer person, like, wants to start an argument, you know, about this and that, like, they want to, like, nitpick all the, like, things that you're bringing up, and it's usually not contributing anyway. They're just trying to kind of, like, shut you down, and they're trying to maintain a status quo in their arguments and all that stuff. It's like they're like casting damage over time spells on you that just, like, wear you down slowly.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh my gosh. And then you aggro them when you're like, okay, boomer.
Yeah, you aggro them. You do a stun on them.
Public space travel. Public space travel.
And so on and so on.
I can't help but believe that in the future, we'll see throughout the world an increasing trend toward the next logical step.
We'll achieve full communism.
Public space travel. Public space travel.
And so on and so on.
Welcome to Public Space Travel. We are a podcast dedicated to social, political critique, comedy, and education. Coming from an anti-hierarchy, anti-oppression perspective, we aim for progressive, radical left solidarity with our brothers, sisters, trans, and non-binary folk of all stripes. I'm Lazarus, and with me today are Lucy, Marks,
Hello.
And Johnny Lupinacci.
What's good?
How's everybody doing today?
Doing good.
Good, man.
I hate technology.
Yeah, that's the theme.
Nice, nice.
Technology was supposed to make our lives easier.
kind of fitting for the episode too, the topic and the whole bit of, like, we're supposed to be good at this stuff.
If you enjoy the show, please consider donating $5 a month at patreon.com/public space travel. Your pledge gives us more coffee and allows us to continue doing this. You can also reach out to us with topics, questions, and concerns at publicspacetravel@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 208-502-1406. Today's episode is going to be regarding the OK Boomer that's been going pretty viral and the reaction from the boomer crowd, I guess you could say.
The uninitiated.
The uninitiated.
Yeah.
Or the overly initiated.
Giant fucking cricket on my floor. Oh, all right. Good luck.
Kill him with fire.
No. All right. So for those who maybe are living under a rock, what's going on virally is this meme of the OK Boomer, which has basically been kind of a critique from the young crowd to the older crowd.
Yeah.
And the older crowd has been perceiving it as not only just an ageist attack on them because they're old, but some have been claiming that it's like the N-word for the older crowd. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a bit, but did you all see the New Zealand politician who said that in mid-speech?
Yeah, I loved it, man. I'm kind of a fan of the phrase, though. I kind of hope it doesn't get overused like anything that pretty much goes viral, but I think it's sparking the right kind of, like, discussion and accountability from a particular group of people that I think we'll probably all agree, and you might lay out a definition for us, but it, like, doesn't necessarily mean you're born between a particular number of years, but yet that doesn't exclude being part of that group, because I think, not speaking for an entire generation or generalizing, but I think it's sort of pretty obvious. It's like that we want more accountability and we want particular groups who have had power to step up and do something with the so-called activism that they're, you know, famous for, or the social change that they kind of abandoned back when things got a little bit easier, or like small victories seemed like huge ones. And so, I mean, I get excited about it because it sparks the right kind of conversation of, like, so what are you taking up space with? And if you're not taking it up with change and leveraging that power, then sit down, shut up.
Yeah.
and I think it's like it is like like the response elicits the kind of like, it seems to be a little bit truth telling, like stop controlling and steering the conversation and taking up space about, you know, practicality, reality, put kind of quotes around those things, like who's going to pay for it kind of thing. It's all like code for keeping things status quo. And yeah. I think youth and radicals. So it's, I mean, there are plenty of radicals that were born between, what is it, 46 and 64. That's and right. It's sort of like if they have to get grouped in a comment like, okay, boomer, then it's like, if it doesn't apply to you, then like chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
And, but it does apply to a big group of people who keep taking up the space and not doing a damn thing about it. And the practicality of it is the sad part is won't be around for the real ramifications of the necessary change. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah. I think that's like the key part there that you mentioned is that, it is a reaction to the older crowd and it's not necessarily, you know, you have to be born between certain years. I think it's definitely like a mindset, but not just like a mindset. It's also, you know, the set of ideas that kind of come around that kind of age group esque.
Yeah.
You're right. They're not going to be around. Go ahead.
I'm wondering now if like, just in case, if we should like lay out like what boomer is, if people may not know exactly. And like maybe what millennial is and how we understand it.
All right. Do you want to, should we go around and kind of talk about that?
I don't have like the best answer, I think, but like from my understanding, a boomer is like someone who grew up in what is quote, the greatest generation ever, post World War II, the biggest economic boom in our country, as far as I know. And,
definitely reaped all those benefits.
Yeah. And, that's what, so in my mind, when I think of boomer, I think of like a person who grew up in that time. For some reason though, like now that I'm thinking about it, I think of them just automatically white. I don't picture yeah. black or brown boomer. I don't know why they exist, right. But I don't picture it. It's weird.
Well, yeah. It's just cause you point out a really important thing. The greatest generation for who? I mean, yeah, and like, what is that success and moniker based on is like an industrial revolution that particularly served a group's rise to a burgeoning middle class of like all of these victories measured mostly in whiteness and patriarchy. And so, you know, and so then when we say like, hey, and I think young people are doing this and it's not only young, but I think like people who are critical of that status quo aren't throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Like maybe there are civil rights activists who are white and, you know, and are part of that baby boomer generation. But you know, to me, the okay boomer thing kind of is like a nod to that era and what you just said, like it represents a kind of thing and yeah.
It's like a cultural. Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting because like that's the time when the white flight was going on. You could basically afford to basically run away to the suburbs if you're white. If you're not, you're redlined into like certain different areas. Yeah. You're in this post-war like boom where you don't have to go to college. You could just, you know, work at a factory, for example, and have like a great, amazing like life because it paid really well. So yeah, I think it's trying to inject like these good old times into like the today and being like, what, you just have to work hard enough. And I think that ties in with, that you have the Gen X, which comes after the boomers. And that's probably more like our parents. Like I'm speaking from the millennial myself. So yeah. And so you have, it's interesting because Gen Xers aren't being targeted by this. And then it's not millennials either. Cause this is not only is it a millennial, but it's also a Gen Z. Like this okay boomer originated from like TikTok, from basically Gen Z, culture and so forth and technology and social media. But it's interesting. So there's this article and it came out from, Blasting News. It's just basically boomers on millennials. And a portion of this article was written in 2017. It's titled An Infantile Generation, What's Wrong with Millennials. There's this subheading and it says, what can be done? And this is what they say. They say, if this generation wants to make our society better, and they're talking about millennials, and help us all move forward, it needs to find a way to adjust to adulthood, accept responsibility, and discard censorship masquerading as tolerance. It needs to develop its collective consciousness, so to speak, a consciousness free of exclusivity and faux political correctness. The grotesque PC culture that we see today is merely a consequence of this generation's tendency to seek excuses and justify censorship while at the same time refusing to grow up. And that last part in particular is the Peter Pan syndrome. That's something that they, another thing that the, that is pushed against the millennial Gen Z and so forth.
Well, I think like, I mean, why would you want, if you could choose, why would you want to grow up? Like, let's just be honest.
Well, we got a Peter Pan over here.
Yeah. And well, let's just break that down. It's just, that's policing language. I mean, yeah. That's really paternalizing. It's also to not to flash forward into probably where like a strand that this conversation is going to ultimately end up is, you know, yeah. the tiers of the so-called okay boomers. And I mean, I'd really like to separate like boomer or baby boomer from okay boomer. Like okay boomer is like a phrase you could pretty much, I think, apply to anyone who's assuming that sort of political argument or space that they're just like coming in with the policing practicality of, well, we really need to grow up, or, you know, if you were being more adult about this, or like you were saying, like, what does it mean to grow up? It means to participate in the economy in a real particular way, to let go of so-called dreams or like aspirations, maybe like the artists and creative generative folks in the community might have. It's the kind of language that says like, oh, well, you'll get more conservative and practical the older you get or the more money you have. And it's like, that's the shit we want. Like, okay, boomer on, and especially around climate change, the more aggressive lay down of it from, you know, 25-year-old politician in New Zealand or to a young person on TikTok. It's like a real quick karate chop. I just made a sound effect for it, but it's just like, I'm not taking up a ton of time and space to engage you in the back and forth that always, like, it might change, but I don't have the time or space to change you. Like, you're taking up space.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're moving faster. We need to move faster than having a dialogue of a very like rule set way, where I have to explain why I might want to major in art and I think generations have really built that up. And I applaud the Gen Zers who are like, just like, boom, okay, boomer, we got a meme for that. You know, like, we have a whole phrase where it's okay to say no, because, you know, otherwise you got to listen. And then at the end, you're left sort of smokescreened and brainwashed. I was explaining to a boomer the other day, like, I think it's actually going to be more respectful for youth to work through this because they're looking up to it was not even a year or two ago we were reading articles about baby boomers and millennials really being the like strongest bond, and I think it was because that antiquated knowledge of like the older you get, the more compassionate you get to what's going to be there for the future of the youth. And so it was sort of like this grandpa grandchild or grandma grandchild relationship between the baby boomer aged people and the millennials and Gen Zers. And they were sort of like, hey, what is Gen X doing? Or these generations in between? And then all of a sudden, like, those Gen Zers are like, wait, grandpa's not really listening. Like, he's concerned, but he's not really listening. He just keeps trying to solve, like, mansplain the problem, even if it's not a man. Like, these politicians not necessarily listening, or they want to slow change this, and we don't have that kind of time. And so it's just like, no, you know, I'm... Yeah. And then they say, oh, it's ageist. You know, it's like, come on, man. It's a response to ageism. You know, if we really want to get technical about it.
We'll get into the ageism in just a second. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that it's like, I totally agree. Like, I love the fact that it's like, finally we have our kind of like, okay, snowflake type of thing. Where like just like a shutdown, because we are like, we're running out of time, and Gen Zers know that more than anyone else. Like, they are very aware, like, you know, like we don't have time. It's like, it's kind of like when you have like a Twitter account or something and people are getting on there and they're harassing you, you just block them. Like, because like, you know, yes, it's about, you know, you should engage in discourse whenever possible, but sometimes it's not healthy. And sometimes you have to just, you know, find what's best for you and move forward. If you know what's good for you already and you know like what needs to be done, like just go get it done. Don't get caught up with, and you don't feed the trolls, basically.
Amen, man. That's exactly what I feel like.
Absolutely. Before we get into the New Zealand politician that kind of spread this like even more like wildfire, I just want to play one quick clip. This is from a TikTok, and on the left side is somebody who's from the Gen Z, and they're basically the whole time like being like "fuck you," and they're writing "okay, boomer," which they show at the end. But on the right is this like older dude with like a hat on, and it's basically what you said. He's basically mansplaining what the problem is. So wait, what kind of hat? Just play that.
What kind of hat?
It's definitely a ball cap hat. It does. It's not clear. Yeah.
Is it flat brimmed or is it curved?
What's
yes.
that?
It's like a dad hat.
It's curved. Look at that. Look at that.
Oh yeah, it's a dad hat.
What is that? What's that guy? Who's that guy? He was on Fox News. He had his own radio show. Then he was on Fox News. He always used like a chalkboard to like draw conspiracy theories. Glenn, no, you know
Glenn Beck.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Glenn Beck, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it is. But anyway, here, I'll play this clip.
The millennials in Generation Z have the Peter Pan syndrome. They don't ever want to grow up. They think that the utopian ideals that they have in their youth are somehow going to translate into adulthood, and that somehow they're going to create this utopian society in which everything is equal, in which the government takes care of everything. Well, guess what? One of these days, just like the baby boomer generation, the generation before us, the baby busters who came after us, you're going to mature and you're going to realize nothing's free, that things aren't equal, and that your utopian society you created in your mind in your youth simply is not sustainable. It's just a reality. You can't escape it. You can't fight it. Hell, even the hippies came to realize their society was not sustainable. So just realize what you're creating in your mind isn't sustainable.
Fucking God.
Yeah. How many times should okay, boomer, I've just taken out that whole thing. It's
yeah,
that's exactly the sentiment it's for. I mean, we hear that. I mean, yeah. And I'm not even a millennial or a Gen Zer. I mean, I'm kind of cuss, but even on the same side, like just thinking, I mean, how many times it's like, okay, boomer, now you're just taking up space, kind of reframing the entire argument or the entire position or the entire initiative to change. And you know, I think that's the thing. It's just reiterating this, like, you're going to grow out of it. And what I hear is just admission of guilt from the good, and I'm putting up scare quotes kind of around, from the good baby boomer generation, or from, you know, the ones who lived through the 60s and 70s and the shift of free speech and the rise of women's rights and these things, which are all great, but of course never ended, right? Who are also soft-shoeing around Dakota Access Pipeline and non-present in Black Lives Matter. And it was like, so the movement of their times, which was kind of conveniently something they leaned on for about 20, 30 years, now pushes a little bit more, or we have a current rise of fascism in the US, and they want an admission of guilt. Oh, this is why we haven't done what? This is why you're going to be just like us. You're going to be just like us. Well, guess what? There won't be a fucking planet. So the young people who are like, no, we're not going to be just like you. And if you need to keep saying it, say it to each other, but don't take up our space. And that's, for me, why I get really excited about OK Boomer. It's like, it's a one quick way phrase to equally dog whistle out to all those people who are unapologetically utopian out of a very real reality. Like, the change is imminent, and they get it, and they're smart and they're capable, and it's threatening. And so there's like this push for that white dude to take up space, rationalizing how they haven't done shit for the past 25 years, or what they have done has culminated to the current status quo. And like, I don't want to take away from anything they may have done, but it wasn't enough. And so, like, if they were really caring about it, they would step back and say, cool, go with it and let us know where we can help.
Because I mean, it's one thing like it's one thing to be like, I did as much as I could. I got tired. Like, absolutely. I got older. Like, there's like real stuff that happens. Like, that's fine. Like, you know, it's not like you have to be Superman 24/7 until you die. But like, just like, so show some fucking support.
Right. That's all. Exactly. We're exactly. Just admit it. Say you're sorry. Say, man, we really fucked up. I think there's plenty of people born between 46 and 64, even later, who are like, shit, man, I wish we would have done more here or here. Let's do it. Yeah. You know, and you know who's not getting an okay boomer? I mean, not, I don't want to sound like a Bernie bro, but I don't see these, like, I don't see these memes with the Bernie face on it. You know, I don't see AOC. Well, she's not a boomer, but I mean, the people who are speaking truth to the future of these current young folks, I mean, they aren't getting okay boomered. It's the same sort of, and I'll intentionally gender it, it's the same sort of grandpa voice.
Yeah.
That's paternalizing. And then it's like the left falls right into it. Cause then they're like, don't, you're being discriminatory. You're being prejudiced. They're like, young people are being disrespectful to people older than them. And I mean, it elicits the response it should. Okay, boomer.
Exactly. Like, I mean, cause there's like something where it's like, also like the whole like, respect is another thing where it's like, I mean, on one hand, you kind of have to earn it a little bit. And like, it's just, we don't have time for that. That's just the whole thing. It's like, we don't have time for that. Yeah. None of that.
Absolutely. So
yeah,
I think that's a great segue to Chloe Swarbrick, who the video of her being interrupted by a boomer and then her saying, okay, boomer. While she was being heckled, this went viral. She's a New Zealand politician for the Green Party of the Aotearoa of New Zealand. And I'm just going to play the audio clip of that. So if you haven't heard it, this is what we're talking about.
Mr. Speaker, how many world leaders for how many decades have seen and known what is coming, but have decided that it is more politically expedient to keep it behind closed doors? My generation and the generations after me do not have that luxury. In the year 2050, I will be 56 years old. Yet, right now, the average age of this 52nd Parliament is 49 years old. Okay, boomer. Current political institutions have proven themselves incompetent at thinking outside of a short political term. Change is so regularly sacrificed for power.
Expertly done.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking brilliant.
And I don't know if the person who was interrupting her was even of age of a baby boomer per se. So that's an important separation. Like, we can keep reiterating, yeah. Like, it's not just for people of a particular age. It just so happens that people of that particular age tend to have that kind of power and wealth accumulated into these spaces and their presence. So, I mean, I can just sense like coming up is going to be someone who's like, that person was actually born in 1968 and doesn't even belong to the baby boomer generation. Doesn't matter. They were interrupting her. They represent a voice that's part of that majority that she says exists there.
Yeah.
And she just, it just rolls. It takes up no space, no extra like distraction. She just like, boom, you know,
it's awesome because it like, it encompasses all of the things that's wrong with the person who is being called the boomer. So it's like, it says everything about them and what you feel about them and what you feel about what you're saying, but you can still like you just quick cut. Okay, boomer. And then transition immediately into what you were, or continue on with what you were saying. And like, absolutely. Everything is out on the table. Like you didn't have to waste 2 hours of your time being sucked into this, you know, rabbit hole of nonsense and logical fallacies.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to listen to that shit too, because like, they have in their mind like, oh, you are basically not, and kind of what we've been saying, like basically co-opting into the status quo, and we don't want to sit there and fucking keep giving you counter arguments and like defeating that logic and seeing and showing you why it's wrong. So we're just like, you know what? Okay, boomer. Like, as we've clarified here, like, it's not just people born within certain years. It's absolutely the boomer worldview.
Yeah.
And that can be, you know, from people who are born during those, you know, defined arbitrary years or not.
Yeah, I mean, what's the alternatives? Like, okay, asshole. You can't say that on the parliament floor or on like unlike federal, like on censored airwaves. I thought about, you know, like we've probably all seen it in the movie Black Panther. Anytime the white guy talks, the whole group that lives in the like up in the snow barks and drowns out the colonizer's voice. I mean, it's
hell yeah.
It's like it's less invasive if that kind of like no space for listening to that kind of filibustering behavior, you know, and it's in it and it's not throwing out any contribution or like help. Like they don't behead that guy. Like, I don't mean to make like everything about a comic or a movie, but I mean, they don't like behead the white guy. They're just like, you have to know your fucking role in these spaces. And it's, and it's in particular, we're going to bark every time you try and talk because it's not talking. No, it's not
exactly.
It's not the space for our space. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. So Chloe Swarbrick actually went on and wrote an opinion piece for The Guardian. It was titled, "My OK Boomer Comment in Parliament Symbolized Exhaustion of Multiple Generations." And nice. This came out on Friday, the 8th of November, 2019. One of the key part that I really enjoyed from this, so I'm just going to read a little section. She says, "My OK Boomer comment in Parliament was off the cuff, albeit symbolic of the collective exhaustion of multiple generations set to inherit ever-amplifying problems in an ever-diminishing window of time. It was a response, as is par for course, to a barrage of heckling in a parliamentary chamber that at present turns far too many regular folks off from engaging in politics. When regular folks are turned off, the status quo has an excuse to continue with business as usual. In order for democracy to work for all of us, it must look like all of us, memes and all."
Yeah.
Snaps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the reaction from the boomer worldview, people who hold the boomer worldview, saying it's basically the N-word. I think that's this originated from... I know. This is so bad.
Did you see the clip of Colbert? Is it Colbert?
Yeah, no. we're gonna play that. Good. I just want to give you some context. So Bob Lonsberry, he's a conservative Rochester radio host, white guy, older dude, definitely retaining the and holding on to the boomer worldview. Posted a tweet and said, "Boomer is the N-word of ageism. Being hip and flip does not make bigotry okay, nor is a derisive epithet acceptable because it is new."
Yep. False.
What the fuck is hip and flip? What does that mean?
I don't even know. Straw man argument and a desperate attempt for the white man to be oppressed in some kind of way that they can make up. It's like,
yeah, right. Well, someone says this is the N-word of this or whatever. It's like when someone, you know, has to wait in a really long line at Starbucks and goes, "This is my Vietnam."
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not
great. That. Exactly.
Oh my God.
Exactly. Like, and this, again, like why the simplicity of the phrase, okay, boomer, it just puts it all into perspective. Like we can take some time and space to unpack this and talk about its complete like ridiculousness. But in that moment, like it takes up space, like especially for young people who are constantly having to respond to their commitment to not reproducing injustice. So it's a manipulative way of being like, you're being ageist, and they have to like stop and really like play through, am I being in some way like hurtful or problematic? And the answer is really quickly, no. They're not the same at all. They're not equivocal. Yeah, you know, you can't really say the two things. I mean, they maybe are like slightly akin, like your example is perfect. Like, yeah, maybe you're inconvenienced by waiting in line, and inconvenience is frustrating for you.
Yeah.
And certainly like Vietnam was an inconvenience for young people who got drafted in the Vietnam or for the people and the ecological systems of Vietnam, but certainly not on the same scale. And last time I checked, boomers weren't getting rounded up and put into like camps or lynched or, you know, raped and abused the same way like women and people of color in this country currently right now are. And so, I mean, it's just, my mind just explodes.
Yeah.
And we could say boomer on like without, like, it's not the N-word, because if you ask yourself the question, like, can you say it? you can't even say it, then they're not equivocal. If one you can just talk about in common language and the other one you can't, then they're not the same.
Right. Yeah. So before we get into the Colbert clip, so it's the 74-time Jeopardy champion, Ken Jennings. There's a couple tweets I want to show here, but the one that's really relevant to that is Ken Jennings said, don't worry, I'm Mormon like this guy, so it's okay. I can call him a boomer with the hard R.
What?
I know.
Boomer
what
the with
hell?
The hard R.
Why do you have to go there? What?
Well, look who's going there. It's like it's low hanging fruit for them to find some sort of way. And believe me, I'm stretching to use this word, to be oppressed, like to find some way that they're able to say, like, I'm excluded. I'm being hurt. I mean, I've seen it all in the last week. It's a microaggression. It's like, come the fuck on.
Yeah, I mean, their privilege is being checked for in this way. And they're like, so they're the ones who are like those snowflake millennial and Gen Z. And then like, we're like, okay, boomer. And they're like, oh, how could you say that? That's like saying the N word to me.
Mm-hmm. Or not all boomers.
That's
not all boomers.
That's like that one time when I said the N word to that other person. This is like that. But to me.
Right. Yeah. So there was somebody else on Twitter. Molly Hodgden. And they showed like they said, you know, so this Bob Lonsbury guy saying, I will not tolerate age-related bigotry. And then it showed a bunch of his tweets from like 2015. And it's like, America's millennials are among the world's least skilled, least talented, most entitled.
Yeah, exactly.
Because whining narcissists are so fascinating. Blah, blah, blah. They're ranked last in the world and they need practical skills, long on confidence, short on ability. And it's like, wow, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, I mean, it's unfair to say that something is ageist when it's coming out of a direct response to you, like pervasive and ongoing ageism, you know, like it's fine to say, hey, that's a little, that hurts my feelings or I don't appreciate that. And then elaborate on why, but to like grandize it to some larger systemic oppression that you're enacting. It just, to me, reminds me of like, this is reverse racism or not all white people are bad. It's like, dude, all white people benefit from white privilege. So even if like that whole argument doesn't hold up.
Absolutely. So Stephen Colbert, did a little clip of this and discussed it. Okay. This was on November 6th, 2019. Let's give it a little quick listen. It's pretty short.
Meanwhile, the internet continues to innovate ways to make each other feel bad. And the latest sensation is to dismiss older people by saying, okay, boomer, as in baby boomers. It's a pretty good diss. Still not as good as the boomer diss for millennials. Hey, we've permanently destroyed the housing market. Well, one New York radio host is getting dunked on by the internet after this tweet went viral for its grade A casual racism. Boomer is the N-word of ageism. Being hip and flip does not make bigotry okay, nor is a derisive epithet acceptable because it is new. Okay, boomer. Clearly. Yeah. Clearly, this fella needs to play the hot new game. Is this the new N-word?
Funny.
No, it's not. Thank you for playing.
It's perfect.
My new favorite game show.
Yeah. And the thing that stinks about it, man, is like there is real ageism. Like I'm not saying, I don't think any of us are saying or any of the folks bringing, like even using OK Boomer are saying that like in an ageist society that like that as you get older, you don't suffer and suffer unjustly. I mean, I think the intersection of age, race, and class, and these things are and gender are incredibly important. I mean, you look who suffers disproportionately in like an urban space in North America. It's like older folks in communities of color are dying because of climate change and because of like eco-racism and things like, I mean, so it's not incorrect. It's just like well put by Colbert, like the people who are crying about it now, all of a sudden, because they're called out in a way, have the big kind of voice to say, that's not fair, that's unjust. It's like, where the fuck were you the last 20 years? Is people, as they aged, were literally dying because they're neglected in our communities.
Yeah, and now where were you when there was actual injustice?
Yeah, now you're getting close to that age, and all of a sudden you got a, you developed an acute sensitivity to an age, to an ageist society. Cool, if what it took was calling people a boomer, then great. Like, then come on board. But I don't think that's what you're really advocating for.
No.
Right.
No. I love this so much because I think this is a really great time for this meme to come into the world because Thanksgiving is coming up.
Yeah. And
and I this relieves a lot of anxiety for me because this gives me so much to
yeah, right. Even if it's just like, that's the exciting part. Even if it's just in your head, right? Like, even if you can't physically, like, I had a lot of people texting me this week, you know, saying like, I wish I could say, okay, boomer at a faculty meeting, or I wish I could say, okay, boomer at my job. And I can't, but like, it's awesome that it exists because in my head and the fact that they say that they would like to say, but they can't is not, is like more proof to the power of that group. And like in a family, like maybe it's not young people being able to say, oh my God, grandpa's talking again, or my uncle, or, you know, people just aren't listening to us, or even putting them in another room at another table. And like, you know, they're just able to know like, ah, okay, boomer. Even if they're just, it's in their head, if they're thinking it, you know, or maybe vice versa, like people are going thinking like, oh my God, I maybe shouldn't take up so much space. Maybe that's wishful thinking. Because they learned something from the okay boomer.
I hear about people's like, some people like going like, oh yeah, like, you know, my grandpa or my uncle was like, oh, I don't know about this thing, like, what do you mean okay boomer, or this and that, and then they go on to say like, but then we had a discussion about it and then he became more enlightened about this thing.
Wow.
Like,
see,
like I'm always kind of like, oh, I don't think that'll happen for me, but like, it's great that it does happen.
Yeah.
That's funny. Definitely going to use that at Thanksgiving. That's a brilliant fucking idea.
it's the best gift. The internet's gift.
And
well, not the best, but.
And I've gotten a lot of like funny admission, like not all boomers, not me, you know, or not this person, or not, you know, you're saying your teachers who were born between 46 and 64 are part of the problem. It's like, well, yes, but also not like the impetus for the problem, like realizing that it's more systemic, that it is about like capitalism and about, you know, sexism and patriarchy, which was around before 46. Well, obviously we know those things, but why are you writing about it now? Like, why are you all of a sudden like defensive to you and saying like, don't map it onto an entire generation. And then sort of almost taking up this individualism kind of argument. Like, not me, or not like all the people. And he said, but you know, kind of own up to it a little bit. Like, where's the piece that said maybe this entire generation really needed to think differently and listen to some of even the radicals and activists and change makers of our peer group that we didn't, you know? I think that would model. I think that's equally the part of the frustration is like, We do look up, we need to look up to teachers, and we need to look up to people who are like, are older than us and maybe have experienced some things and we can learn from that. But when we try to, and then we offer something about it and we're shut down, you know, that's the bigger thing. It's like a response to, and the utter defensiveness of groups, you know, is telling to why they were unable to make that change. To me, I mean, it tells, sort of sums it up.
Yeah, I think like, I'm just now reminded of yesterday that one I forgot the track name, but the Suicidal Tendencies track, where he goes on about like how he's like, I just wanted a Pepsi and she wouldn't give it to me. I don't know what the song is called. But like, there's a part at the end, like in the last verse, where he's like, I'm the one that's crazy when I went to your institutions, your learning facilities. Like, that's the thing, is that you grow up and like, I've experienced this where you go to do all like the quote unquote right things and you think like, okay, well, this maybe affords me some like leverage to the conversation I could have some input here. And then like, no, like everything that you're like, you know, like they agree with what the problems are maybe, but like when you try to provide a solution, you get shut down and you keep getting shut down and the youth keep getting shut down because they're not taken seriously because they don't know better. They, you know, like there's just all these like excuses for why, you know, it's like, I literally just learned everything you just learned. And probably more because more information has come into the light since you got that information.
Yes.
So, I mean, at the very least, it seems logical to at least say to yourself, like, okay, what I have learned, there is more to learn. They have learned more. So maybe they have something to say. But that never happens. I mean, it does happen sometimes, but I've never experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point because it's like the solutions that, like, we come up with, they don't work, quote unquote, they don't work to kind of
like, they're like idealistic.
Yeah, exactly. They don't work to maintain the status quo. They want to circumvent it and change it and alter it because during our lifetime, we have to deal with this shit and they're going to be long dead. And so We don't have the space and we're rejected for having, as you said, these idealistic or utopian kind of views, but we need that sociological imagination and it's being constantly fucking shut down and yeah, it's fucking bullshit.
Like it's weird too that like, it's like we should be shamed for being idealistic and wanting a utopian view. Like that's yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be nice if we all got along. Oh, disgusting. What a sick person.
Yeah, it's totally telling that anything that's not like paying homage to the greatness, then it's a big problem. It's disrespectful. It's utopian. It's never growing up. It's like that all impacts to if you're not being exactly like me, or exactly like we want you to be, or we envision you. So it's like you have your utopian visions for us, and it's okay for you to have them. But as soon as we dream about something, you know, we're disciplined for it heavily. You know, I'm glad it's coming up. I mean, there's always been youth movements. I mean, the boomers themselves went through a whole like era of like resisting past generations.
Did they fucking forget that? I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's the whole point. What? It's like, did you, like, it was cool for
you
to say,
or they do remember it.
Yeah.
And then it's go like, well, you'll learn what I learned, which is that the world is cruel and you'll become bitter like me. And then we'll finally be able to sit at the same table once we're both completely broken.
But we can all listen to John Lennon's Imagine and also Revolution by the Beatles and all get along.
Or just turn their own generation's music on them. Janis Joplin said freedom's just another word, right? And it reminds me of that, like that generation probably has some shit to work through about how we ended up where we are when they were all like, none of these problems are new and they're not on the table as new challenges. They had every opportunity to address them politically, to restructure socioeconomically and didn't do so. And now it's sort of like they may be regretful, but instead, like you were saying before, instead of just saying, yo, we kind of fucked up and now we really need to fix this, let's figure out how to work together. They're still clinging to that. You need to be more realistic. Or, I mean, student debt is a huge thing young people are bringing to the table. And yet still any proposal in politics to eliminate or alleviate student debt is buried in a dialogue about who's going to pay for it. Nothing's free. It's like nobody said anything was free. You know, just addressing these topics become impossible or pushed to the side by particular people in power.
It's like I'm so close to my retirement, or I'm so close to like this, like I my lazy boy is so comfortable. Like, like I just want to go home. I just want to relax. Now you're making me think about what I might have to do in order to actually help the world. And my bones hurt and I'm just tired. Like, why are you even bringing this up to me?
Yeah.
Do you think, like on a flip side, do you think also that, it might be more Gen Xers, but maybe it's boomers too. I don't know. But do you think that some of them perhaps feel guilty for not doing enough or the way the world went and then kind of feel like they have to let go with the like as a reaction to being critiqued. They're just like, I already have to deal with that. And I already see that. And I already see like how the younger generations have to deal with it, that there's like a certain sense of guilt as well. I don't know. Maybe a more guilty, like kind of world boomer worldview or boomer would just be like, yeah, you're right. Fucking okay, boomer. Like, we done fucked up.
Yeah, probably. But then again, it's like, why don't you just be like, you know, I feel bad. I, you know, I could have done this. I didn't. What do you need from me?
Yeah.
Like, that's all that has to happen.
Yeah. And then, I mean, again, okay, boomer, I don't think, like you said earlier, it's not aimed at all people born then. Yeah. It's a particular group. And we all envision exactly that dude. And maybe that white woman. And sorry to be like race specific about it, but not sorry. You know, like it's the same kind of person who represents an intersection of powers. That's like, that's now all of a sudden like trying to utilize that language to keep their power and to rationalize it and justify it. So instead of saying like, I don't think anybody aging, especially big people in poverty or people with disability. I mean, the ways in which people experience marginalization and oppression, it doesn't need to be mapped onto like everybody needs to step aside or not have their needs met. But a particular group that all of a sudden is like, listen to me. I need to be part of the solution. Like it's that urge to be the savior is one particular group of people. And mostly it's white dudes freaking out about okay, boomer. It's like older white dudes or younger ones who are like so excited about stepping into that role.
Yeah.
Like it's laid out for them and they're just, all they have to do is just, you know, stay in line.
Yeah.
Color within the lines. And then they'll be able to get that.
The other thing that's kind of exciting about it to me is like, you know, I don't know how to explain this the right way, but it's also kind of like get your shit in gear, you know, like when, like, and I'm not a particular fan of this, but sometimes like in like teaching and something, a teacher will say like, what do you need to be doing right now? Or like, come on, like get together, like get with it. You know, the statement kind of reads like that too. Like if you get told, okay, boomer, it's kind of like get to it. Get on board. What you got? Like, pass the mic. Here it goes. What do you got? Nope. Same old bullshit. Nothing new. Keep it moving. But it's like there's plenty of invitation to the change. So maybe the phrase is sort of poking at like, okay, like your turn. What are you going to do?
Yeah, definitely.
Step up to the mic.
Yeah, step up.
Lay some hot fire on us.
Yeah. Like, you've got the power. I mean, when I just hearing that you replay the political discussion in New Zealand, right? I mean, it's saying like I think I don't want to speak for her intentions or what, and I haven't read it really closely, but it sounds to me like by saying you have these kinds of numbers, like you represent this kind of way. One, we either need change or we need for you to utilize that majority voice in a way to, you know, make some decisions about climate change in particular. Mm-hmm. And I think the same can be said for like any aspect of social justice and sustainability together. You know, like you have this majority mass and you're about to lose it too. That's the other part. That's the reality. Like it doesn't shock me that there's such a tantrum by people of that age and such of like defense, you know, sort of like, because they're also about to lose it and maybe more ways than one. And so like, again, like ableism is a big drug that works really well until you realize you, even as a person who may have gone through productive years of your life, as able-bodied, and I put kind of scare quotes around that, is temporarily able-bodied. Like aging changes, like you had said, you're tired, you have chronic pain, your bones hurt. Like these are realities that people experience. And so they're maybe a little more defensive to the fact that we might not be considering those. Mm-hmm. But again, it just to me reifies like their ableism and their way of going through life of not seeing that some young people have that kind of pain. And like,
lot of us, I mean, working overtime more, putting in more time for less money.
Yes.
Like it's, Yeah, like we're all tired. So
to kind of speak to that point also, Johnny, that you mentioned earlier, like it would be really interesting if our political representatives actually represented us more closely. So like in the United States, to be a senator, you have to be at least 30 years of age. To be a representative, you have to be at least 25. And then that's specified like in the US Constitution. And then most states also have like a minimum age to be like a governor or a state senator or whatever. But it would be really interesting to have more younger people hold political positions and political office.
Yeah.
I think obviously like the older generations, and I think the status quo is would not like that at all. But maybe that's a key element in moving forward, especially in like connection with like a green revolution.
Yeah. It's interesting to me that the boomers that are in question here are also like incapable of sharing the space.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully, it just brings up that kind of stuff. And I do believe in particular in the, at least in the US, that like the response to it is under sort of this threat that like a youth movement is coming, that whether it's youth in Congress with like, you know, kind of like a veiled disgust for someone like AOC, you know, like instead of coming out and saying like, I'm a sexist and an ageist and a bit of a racist too. And so like, I can't come out and say that because I'm also like a liberal baby boomer. I can't say, I just don't like these women. So instead I'm going to say like the youth aren't being respectful of their elders, or they're not, you know, listening to us. And it might not be them. It's what their followers are doing. And they kind of have all of these like ifs and thens. And I hope that it changes things because I mean, it doesn't seem to be non-coincidence that also part of some of the political change is that the voting age should be lowered to 16. And you know, and then we're really faced with the fact like you're willing to lock up kids, right? You're really willing to put teenagers who are children in prison systems, into jail, like not just like hold them overnight in jail, but like incarcerate them. Mm-hmm. But yet they can't vote, or, you know, they can sign up and go fight. So like we lowered the voting age before based on like right to take up arms, or I can be shot in a school. Like, I mean, like look at these like mass shootings in schools, but yet my voice, like I matter only insofar as like I'm part of the problem, but I can't speak politically to it. And I think that would radically change things. So I think some of these discourses are intentionally to like interrupt those sort of social movements.
Yeah.
That makes me think of another thing where in this society and culture, the youth is valuable for consumption and for profit, but not usually for ideas.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly, that's beautifully said. That is the way the status quo treats the youth.
And I haven't seen any of these, like, I haven't really seen any of the youth who have utilized that sort of okay boomer or the platform of like, I'll say radical youth, who haven't included all people in their like social welfare perspective. You know, like I just haven't seen. So like, that's for me, like I get really defensive to the ageism. Like I can't even go into the, like, is it the same as racism? Is it the same as sexism? It's just no, but it is kind of an ism. And if you really want to talk about that ism, let's look at like youth movements and which youth movement is saying, you know, do harm to those older than us. Zero. Which youth movement is saying like, don't provide health care or education or gainful employment to all peoples. Right. And include in that even maybe like what is.
Well, there is one youth movement actually that I saw recently. The MAGA challenge is filled with youth movement people.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Those are an example of.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But they don't like all people, but they kind of like they haven't gone. They definitely aren't ageist. You know?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But quite, I don't know. Bad at rapping.
Yeah. Don't over romanticize it to like all, I would say like all radical or left. I guess they're probably more radical than any of the, I just don't see it. Like children's rights are also rights for people who are of any age, and they're sort of in response to ageism.
Yes.
And so, you know, I just think like, man, you know, and imagine arguing that like a baby gets more space than like an adult. Like people would look at you like, what the fuck is the matter with you? So if a young person like 20 is contributing, following all of the rules, but not saying what you like, and then you shut them down by like saying, you know, they need to be more practical or they're never growing. I mean, it's just, they're growing up no matter what. Like biologically, mm-hmm. they're aging, whether you like it or not.
It's interesting the way you phrase that too, because it seems like if you're going to like raise a child, or if you're going to be like a teacher, like you're never going to be like, no, blah, 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 blah. Instead, you'd be like, oh, well, like, what do you mean? Let's like learn and have a dialogue together about what you're talking about. And we can have a conversation together mutually and be mm-hmm. like, I don't think this works because this or this. Or, hey, this does work because this, or it's probably a mix of both or something like that. You know what I mean? Instead, it's like, nope. And I think, I mean, I'm not as aware of like this whole like quote cancel culture thing, but I wonder if there's an element of like the boomer that is actually a giant cancel of the younger generations. I don't know. Maybe I'm misunderstanding that and not using it correctly here, but I don't know. It just like we've been talking about, like, it's very much so like a shutdown completely of any potential dialogue or conversation because it's quote too idealistic, which is, it's the commodity, the youth, you know, they're a commodity. It's basically the commodity wanting to have more autonomy, wanting to have a place in this society more than just something to be profited from as people who are living, not just existing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's going to hand, I mean, if we just localize it to North American politics, it very well might hand the election to a particular group that doesn't have this sort of infighting. I mean, and I hate to say that, like, I don't want to like get excited about it, but it's further divisive of the left, and it's telling of the kinds of ways that like a Democratic Party per se, or even just the limitations of a two-party system, falls really vulnerable to its youth movements. I mean, they're going to like, they're going to really divide quote unquote votes on, like, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. And that's like been time and time again. And I hate to say this, but a bit of me does tend to worry that like there's a liberal mask in front of some of these like white liberals crying about being called a boomer, that they want their markets protected and that particular hateful administration and rise of fascism protects those markets. And they are certainly threatened in some way by, say, like a more radical candidate or a political movement that, you know, radically rewrites policy in defense of the planet. And so, I mean, even if they're not saying that, it's like, do you see the political manipulation you're in when you defend markets, when you start to rationalize non-universal healthcare and individualized to the unjust systems or the neoliberal kind of policy that will continue to be the same problem. And I worry about that. I mean, I think like nobody's trying to, like, I don't see any of these young people trying to completely dis experience, or to dis people of a particular age, but rather to shut down a way of kind of swaying the argument into the same kind of circus that landed us in some big problems several times over and over again, but more significantly for the general public, you know, in 2016.
I also wonder, like, I'm ready for when capitalism co-opts the term and use of okay boomer. So like when you start seeing more shirts that say okay boomer and you have like people buying it and it's like a symbol of protest, but at the same time it's been commodified. And then also I'm curious if certain groups will co-opt too. So you'll have like conservative youth who'll be like okay boomer to Bernie, or you'll have like more liberal people like okay boomer to Trump. But like,
Well, there was that one, like I heard about, there was one person who made the shirts like okay boomer and they made like $10,000 or in the sales. But then when they were asked, like, what are you going to use with that money? It's like, I'm going to use it for college.
Like, exactly. You know?
That's the example of like why all of this.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. And I think anything falls prey to being overused, right? Like it could just get like, it could become overused and then apply, or it could become further co-opted into meaning somebody from, you know, born between a particular number of years. I mean, I can guarantee the fact that we're all already talking about it. Youth are already on to the next thing. I mean, they're like, I mean, we were talking about it in class a little bit with our students and they were like laughing. They were like, you're on Facebook. And you know, like they were like, you're old. Like, and then they were like, no, please keep that Facebook. That's where like the boomers like thrive, like keep them in there, like keep them contained in there. You know,
I keep them contained.
Like, and it makes sense because they have a captive, like it makes sense that kind of behavior associated with where the okay boomer phrase comes from. Like it works really well in like TikTok or in like those quick spaces where it's like boom and on to the next thing, where like Facebook is like the speed of like that dialogue. Like you're going to post and then I'm going to read it and I'm going to look up my stuff and post, and then you're going to post and then I'm going to post. And then I'm going to tag people to see, and they're going to post. And
a lot of well actuallys.
Yes, well actuallys, or I think what you mean, or you know what I'm reading, or that's your perception. Although, I mean, those are boomer, like that's boomer language. You don't even have to be a boomer age. Like probably guilty even myself at different times. It's like you've slipped into that whole like practicality policing or like control discourse where,
respectability politics.
Yeah. Perfect. Keeping it real and, you know, and realistic and practical. Don't put that down on the internet because you know what, you're going to change your beliefs later on and it's going to be there forever.
Yeah. You don't want your employers to see that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, perfect timing for Thanksgiving.
Well, let's go ahead and we're going to take the show out from here with a remix that's been going around of the OK Boomer by Peter Cooley. And it's titled OK Boomer with Jed Will, found on their SoundCloud. But before we jump into that, I just want to say again, we're Public Space Travel. Please check us out at patreon.com/public space travel. We also have a Reddit, a subreddit you can check out and join.
Leave reviews if you can.
Yes, please. On iTunes, it's very beneficial for us to do so. Any last words before we take it out and listen to this OK Boomer track?
Nope.
Here we go.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Ayo, hey, yeah. This one goes out to all the 65 plus crowd on SoundCloud. Not gonna say much. Shout out Jed Will. He gonna take over on the mic. Old ladies suck.
Okay, boomer. Okay, boomer. Okay, boomer. Okay, boomer. Okay, boomer. Okay, boomer. Okay.